straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice. And today, my very special guest is Stephen Houlihan. He is a Democrat running against Congressman Daryl Issa, the Republican, in the 48th Congressional District, which includes most of East County. He's a former Santee vice mayor and councilman, a registered nurse, and a Save Mission Trails leader who led successful efforts to stop a power plant and a liquefied natural gas pipeline next to the regional park. So, Stephen, welcome to the show.
It's an honor to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Great to have you back. Please tell us about your background for those folks that may not be familiar with you, even though you ran once before. Your top experience that qualifies you for this job, and your primary goals if elected to Congress.
Well, thanks for the opportunity. So yes, I am Stephen Houlihan. I am running for Congress for California's 48th Congressional District. I'm a registered nurse. I've been a registered nurse for over 25 years, and my background is in critical care. I have a lot of experience in Medicare because now I work as an analyst. And so I feel like I have a lot to offer for working with Medicare specifically. I am a former Santee City Council member. I served from 2016 to 2020, and I was actually the vice mayor of Santee in 2019. And those were some interesting times, to say the least. I am the president of Save Mission Trails, and we are the group that stopped the Quail Brush Power Plant from being built at Mission Trails Regional Park. And we also stopped a liquefied natural gas pipeline from going through the 48th Congressional District. We created a scenic highway out of the 52 as well. We worked very hard on that and have a number of amazing accomplishments. As a city councilman, I was able to work with the firefighters and make sure that the firefighter paramedics in Santee were well-funded. We made sure that all of the underground drainage worked, and that was another big thing that we did when I was on the council that, unfortunately, in San Diego, they didn't seem to move quickly enough. And then when those big storms hit, there was a catastrophe. So many, many great accomplishments as a councilman, as a nurse. I'm a father, a happy husband. I've been a coach. I've coached soccer. I've coached baseball for many, many years. Some of the big things I want to do when I get into Congress, well, the first thing is we need to bring back women's rights. We need to codify Roe v. Wade. I want to expand Medicare for those 55 and up and for children. I have a plan that's called Medikid. And I want to make sure that Social Security is there for everyone in their time of need as they age.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for that. Stephen, you mentioned on your website that this election is about freedom. There's some new issues in play, since the last time you ran. One of those, of course, is the abortion rights issue. Congressman Issa has called the Supreme Court decision overturning Roe versus Wade a great day. He has consistently voted against reproductive freedoms for women. He has a 0% rating from Planned Parenthood and a 100% rating from pro-life anti-abortion groups. He's also opposed requiring insurers to cover birth control for women. So I wanted to ask you if you could elaborate a little bit more on women's reproductive health and how your views differ from your opponents.
My views could not differ from my opponents any more. He is actually the co-author for a nationwide ban on abortion everywhere. So don't be fooled.
Are there any exceptions in that? I wasn't aware of
no
that.
No exceptions.
So not even to save the life of a mother, say a woman suffering a miscarriage who needs an abortion to save her life.
They're taking a very hard line, and it's wrong. It's wrong. I believe a woman should have choice. As someone who's been a nurse for 25 years, I understand the complexities of both pregnancy and childbirth. In fact, all nurses actually do a rotation and assist with that process. So I know how amazing it is to have a child. I have a 15-year-old, but also how difficult it can be for those that lose a child. And so I absolutely am for women's rights. Women's rights are human rights. And it means so much for everybody, especially for women, to have the autonomy to make decisions with what happens with their own body.
Yeah. As a nurse, Stephen, what is your assessment of our nation's healthcare system and how it can be improved? You mentioned an item or two there in your opening, but I'd like to hear a little bit more about how your views on healthcare compare with your opponents on things like saving the Affordable Care Act, which we should remind folks, when Trump was president the first time, he tried very hard to kill Obamacare, known as the Affordable Care Act. It was actually a single vote cast by Republican John McCain that saved it from being repealed. And even today, he says he has concepts of a plan to replace it. 9 years later, he still hasn't told us what, if anything, that plan includes. So where do you stand on all of this, and how does that contrast with Congressman Issa?
Well, I'll tell you what, the verdict is in, and Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, was a complete success. It was and is and continues to be. Having medical insurance is so very important, especially when you hit your 50s. We need to make sure that everyone has the opportunity to be covered. And Congressman Issa, he voted to repeal the Affordable Care Act. He has never, ever been a supporter of these of the importance of healthcare for all. We can't go back to the 1800s and social Darwinism, where only the strongest survive. It's really important that everyone have the opportunity. I am a big supporter of Medicare. Like I said, I want to expand it immediately for those 55 and older. I'm not saying that you have to go on Medicare. I'm just saying that, say you hit 55 and you're ready for retirement, you could have that option.
Yeah, it would be nice. I know when I was in my 50s, and wow, those premiums went through the roof, but it was suddenly very unaffordable, and you still had years to go before you could qualify for Medicare. And of course, there's the chance of taking us back to that dark time when pre-existing conditions, insurers could refuse you if you had a pre-existing condition, like, say, childhood asthma.
Everyone has a pre-existing condition. Don't fool yourselves, people. Nobody's perfect.
Yeah.
And as you're older, you unfortunately, things start to happen. So expanding Medicare is so important.
Yeah.
But I also want to do is I want to lift up the children. When someone has childhood cancer, it's no cause of their own. Why do they have to go on and go on TV and ask for money to support, all these different organizations? Let's just support them. And also think about this, all of that care that's done for children, all that preventative care will lead to healthier outcomes, and it pays for itself over time.
Yeah, there you go. Congressman Issa voted against certifying votes in the 2020 election, certifying electors in the 2020 election, and against creating an independent commission to investigate the January 6th Capitol insurrection that injured so many police officers and killed some of them. Protecting our democracy is once again a major election issue this year, with Trump, whom Issa has supported, threatening to arrest his political opponents. He's been praising Hitler's generals for their loyalty to a ruthless dictator, and even saying he does not support our Constitution. I would like to hear your views on what steps you think should be taken to protect both the integrity of our elections and to preserve our democracy, which seems to be very much at risk right now.
Well, say the first step is for people to vote for me and get Congressman Issa out of Congress. He has failed to uphold his constitutional duty. He has failed. And a peaceful transition of power is one of the hallmarks of our democracy. Sometimes move a little bit to the left, sometimes move a little bit to the right, but we should always progress. And unfortunately, during the January 6th uprising, that was not happening. And then what's happened is individuals like Congressman Issa have not wanted to investigate. So again, it shows bad will.
Yeah,
get in there and stop these individuals from doing this.
Yeah, we should note that 62 judges, at least 62 judges, found that President Trump had lost the election, that there was no evidence at all of any credible fraud. And that included several judges that he himself had appointed. You know, these were not biased lefty liberal judges, at least, you know, many of them were not. So it's very troubling that we had, you know, members of Congress right now who are prepared to not certify an election if the person they support lost, you know.
And I'm actually endorsed by the National Security Leaders for America, which is a bipartisan group of all retired generals, retired admirals, and retired cabinet members. And there's many hundreds of them. And they asked me out to endorse me because of Daryl Issa's terrible record on this.
Yeah, that's very compelling. Many voters cite the economy and inflation among their top concerns. What are your views on the state of our economy, how to improve the economic outlook for Americans, and bring down inflation, which is starting to come down, but obviously most everyone would like to see it come down even more?
Absolutely. Well, the thing about inflation is it was a worldwide phenomenon.
True.
And so what happened was it wasn't just the United States that endured inflation. And our economy is actually the envy of the world right now. So although inflation, I get it. I've paid higher bills as well in everything.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at the stock market, it's at record highs.
It is.
So it has bounced back. And if you look at the Fed, they've actually started to cut interest rates.
Mm-hmm.
Look at numbers for unemployment. It's at all-time lows. And so we are actually doing quite well. Now, prices have been too high. They are. You know how prices can be brought back down? Through competition. And unfortunately, my opponent, Daryl Issa, he has not been one to nurture competition. He's actually been a monopoly maker. Mm. And so when you have less competition, which isn't capitalism, you have higher prices. And so I am a big supporter of the $50,000 incentive put forth by Vice President Kamala Harris for new businesses. And so new small businesses, that's what's going to decrease prices as we have more competition.
What about her plan to offer, I think it was $25,000 for some first-time home buyers to help them be able to afford their first house? Certainly a key issue here in San Diego that has among the highest housing prices in the whole nation.
Yeah, I remember when I bought my house in 2009, and at the time there was a $10,000 incentive put forth by President Obama.
Mm-hmm.
It helped so much. It helped so much. And now here I am 15 years later, a homeowner, doing very well and very, very happy. So now things are much more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So $25,000 is excellent for a first-time home buyer. You may actually have to come up with a significant larger down payment just because of the way that the market is.
But yeah,
we not only do we need that, we need to expand, and people haven't really talked about things like inclusionary housing. We need to demand inclusionary housing all across California, but especially here in San Diego. And as a city councilman, I championed inclusionary housing. Unfortunately, I was outvoted and we weren't able to establish that in Santee. And I'm not talking about that's not low income housing. That's housing for the people of Santee or of the local community.
Yeah, you mentioned that you have, you know, sort of a middle class background, and you've contrasted that against your opponent, who Daryl Issa is one of the richest men in Congress. I think he's fifth or sixth on the list right now. He also recently got caught up in a bit of a scandal there with some stocks or treasury bonds that he divested himself of. I believe it was over $300,000, over $250,000. It was a lot of money. And he was late reporting that, which apparently I'm reading may violate the Stock Act. Do you think we need more teeth in that law? Apparently it's only a $200 fine.
Absolutely. Insider trading is likely the only reason someone like Daryl Issa would even want to be in Congress. He is already extremely wealthy. He's absolutely not serving the residents of California's 48th congressional district. And he's using his status in Congress to make himself much, much richer. And so this is this is not okay. This is not okay. And there should be more teeth. You make $250,000 in profit and are fined $200. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. So Daryl has done so many things that are unscrupulous over the years. That's why he got booted out of his original congressional district. He doesn't even live in this district. So it's very sad.
And yeah, he tried to become an ambassador or something, and they couldn't even get a Republican-led Congress to ratify that appointment because apparently he failed an FBI background check, which is interesting. We still don't know what was in that report.
Well, we know that there's a lot of accusations. I guess I don't want to go too far in the mud, but he's just not the right person to represent this district.
Yeah, it seems to be a district that has a history of picking people with legal controversies. We've seen Randy Duke Cunningham, who spent, 7 years in the slammer for what he did, bribery. And then Congressman Hunter Jr., Duncan Hunter Jr., who was actually convicted of, campaign finance violations, was all set to go to prison when COVID hit, and then President Trump pardoned him. So they're kind of on a roll there. Daryl Issa was the only member of the San Diego County Congressional Delegation to vote against the infrastructure bill, the Biden bipartisan infrastructure bill, which brought major funding to repair dams, roads, and bridges in all those other congressional districts, but not out here. Would you prioritize fighting for funding for infrastructure in East County to, maybe to prevent the kind of flooding that we saw in January with so many people's homes were destroyed, as well as repairing or replacing the aging El Capitan earthen dam in Lakeside that has been rated so dangerous by the state that they can't even keep it filled to capacity. So that water is just being released to run off into the ocean.
Absolutely. As a city council member, I prioritized infrastructure, filling potholes, fixing drainage. That's what government's supposed to be doing. And you know what Daryl Issa has done for us? Nothing. He has done absolutely nothing. He votes against any type of infrastructure, and he doesn't bring any money home. And it's very, very sad. But I guess, when he never even visits the district and doesn't live in the district, then I guess he just doesn't care.
Yeah, the Hunters at least brought home the bacon for the aerospace industry, a few other things. But yeah, good point.
In Lakeside, we need to get that fixed.
It's really dangerous.
Catastrophe.
And it's near an active earthquake fault. And they've had a major earthquake in the past, back in the 1800s, that was strong enough to level an Indian village on the very site where that dam sits now. Moving on, immigration is a hot button issue in this district, with Donald Trump calling for rounding up millions of immigrants into detention camps and, deporting them. San Diego has among the highest number of international border crossers, including out in rural East County areas like Acumba and Campo. How would you balance the concerns over immigration from a security standpoint versus concerns of others over the humane treatment of migrants and asylum seekers, including families who were separated at the border during Trump, something he says he'll go back to?
We should never separate families. That, first of all, that's just unacceptable. And we should have passed comprehensive reform for the border, for immigration. The border
bill, which Daryl Issa voted against, we should note, the bipartisan reform bill that Republican leaders had fought for years, and that Biden finally said he would sign, and then Donald Trump called up the Republican leaders in Congress and told them not to vote for it because it would make him look bad. he wanted to perpetuate the problems at the border, including fentanyl coming across the border. There was money in that bill for scanners to detect fentanyl smuggling, and Issa voted no on that.
It's unbelievable. He makes the border like his number one issue, and then he votes against it. So he creates a crisis so he can run on it, just like Donald Trump did. And so Issa is not a man of his word. And I believe we need reform. We need more immigration judges. We need more Border Patrol agents. We need manpower. We need to make sure that they're funded appropriately. We need those machines, those scanners that can detect fentanyl. And, as a nurse, as a critical care nurse, I never dreamed that fentanyl would become a recreational drug. Yeah. And it goes into it gets put into drugs that maybe someone's unknowing that they're even taking it. And next thing you know,
People think they're saving money going to a pharmacy in Tijuana, not realizing that a lot of those drugs down there are pharmaceutical drugs are laced with fentanyl, as are other street drugs and counterfeit pain pills, you know, being sold up here, on the streets.
Yeah, a virtual wall. We need drone technology out there in the Far East County. You can't build a wall over those many, many thousands and thousands of miles. You need drones flying over there. That way you can see. And that's what makes sense. You need to bring real technology. And then that way, then the Border Patrol agents can go out there and assess the situation. That's what's important.
And yeah, they're putting mattresses up on top. They're taking ladders and putting mattresses up on the brand new 30-foot high Trump wall and just going over them with ropes to slide down. I have a friend that owns a property down there, and he showed me that's exactly what's going on. So I'm not sure that it's dissuading very, very many undocumented immigrants from coming in for all the money that was spent on it.
So then we end up, you know, UCSD, the trauma center over there, Mercy Hospital here in San Diego, They don't have enough beds to fill with all these trauma patients. And so then that hurts us because we end up having to pay. Up at the hospital, we have to take care of them.
Right. So it seems like we need a system where people can apply legally for asylum without having to cross deserts and mountains to do it. And then they could vet them, check their backgrounds, and either they're accepted or they're not. And in which case they would be deported if they're a threat of some sort or whatever, or don't meet the asylum standards. But then when you see people crossing out in those dangerous areas, you know, those are probably the smugglers, the bad guys that you really need to be worried about.
Absolutely. Yep. We need to make sure people have their day in court, make sure the border's secure, but we need to give everyone, there needs to be justice. And, we can't just turn our head and be inhumane about the situation. We need to have critical workers. So I support citizenship for critical workers. We need to modernize the whole Farm Worker Act. You know, there's the Modernization of Farm Worker Act. We need people that do those types of jobs.
Yeah, the Farm Bureau wants those workers.
I don't want to go out there and do that work. Someone needs to do it. And also, you know what that does? It brings down the cost. It brings down the cost. You have a good workforce, then the cost of groceries will go down.
Very true. I would like to ask you your thoughts on climate change, specifically how to address its impacts, including the increasingly severe wildfires and flooding and storms that have impacted our region. I mean, who thought we'd get a tropical storm and a hurricane warning up here, or, you know, the worst flooding in 100 years, as well as the major wildfires that we've seen all across California and the West. And also, those things have created an insurance nightmare for so many homeowners right here in East County and all over the West. What ideas do you have to make that better?
Well, I don't know about everyone who's listening, but if you haven't gotten your homeowner's insurance, when you do, you're in for a shock, because it's going to go up by probably 20% or more if you're lucky enough to still be insured by that particular insurer. And so there is an insurance crisis going on. Mm-hmm. In the East County, in the 48th Congressional District, it has mostly to do with wildfire. And so the number one thing that we can do is bring in federal dollars to put the power lines underground. Mm. A lot of the big fires are during the Santa Ana winds, and the power lines drop off of the towers.
Right.
It's on fire. So that's huge. We also need to bring in relief for individuals and try to help them when they do lose their insurance. And so we need to find ways to work with the insurance industry as well to make sure that people are able to afford insurance. Because if you have a mortgage, you must have insurance.
Yeah. Well, as well as maybe help to afford the kind of upgrades that might enable some of these people to get their insurance back. I guess in some cases, they just think the area is too dangerous and they won't insure it no matter what. But other times, maybe they need to replace, you know, an old roof or a wooden deck, or, put those, clear 100 feet of defensible space around their home. And if it's somebody that's older and on a fixed income, they just may not be able to afford I don't know about you, but when we've had to have major trees cut or major trees cut down, it can be thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars just to trim big trees.
That's correct. That's correct. So yeah, we need to have tax incentives. We need to give tax breaks so that especially people on a fixed income can afford these things. Mm-hmm. So absolutely. And then for the issue of flooding, you wouldn't have thought San Diego would have had the type of flooding they did, but you know what? It can happen. And what you can do and what you should do as a city is you need to actually pass cameras down underground and make sure all that infrastructure is working. And we fought long and hard in Santee over it. But you know what? I was able to prevail and reach.
We need that in places like Spring Valley and Lemon Grove and some of those inner city San Diego neighborhoods, Rolando, where they had such terrible flooding. And a lot of it was due to blocked up storm drains.
Blocked up storm.
Preventable.
So it's absolutely important, you know, so we need federal dollars. And unfortunately, our congressman here in the 48th is bringing in zero federal dollars to help us.
I would like to talk about foreign policy next. The balance of power in Congress hangs in the balance right now. I mean, you know, the Senate, I think the Democrats currently have a one vote majority is all. In the House, the Republicans have a slim several vote majority, and that could flip, you know, either way. Whichever party controls Congress after this election could be making key decisions on international policy, of course, you know, in consultation with the president. So I've got three foreign policy questions. First is, do you support the NATO alliance that was set up to provide mutual protection with our European allies for both the U.S. and much of Europe? Trump has said he does not support that.
The NATO alliance is the greatest alliance in the history of the world, and I absolutely support it. And I believe that the vast majority of Americans do support NATO. I'm an American born abroad. I was born in Scotland, and my dad was over in Scotland, you know, having been deployed from here, from San Diego. And, you know, that was all about NATO. And NATO is so very important. It is what keeps, you know, a tyrant like Vladimir Putin in check. And without NATO, it would be very, very bad for us. It is
wonderful. He knows if he were to say, I mean, one reason he picked on Ukraine to invade is because they're not part of NATO currently. But you notice he hasn't marched into Poland or some of those other countries that because he knows that the rest of Europe would be coming to Poland's defense were he to try that. That brings us to the next question, which is, what do you believe is the proper U.S. role with regard to Ukraine and the Russian invasion of its sovereign nation?
You know what? We don't want to yield to tyrants and allow them to invade a sovereign nation like Ukraine. We should do everything in our power to support Ukraine, and we should make sure to provide them the weapons that they need. We need to provide them everything so that way we don't end up with American boots on the ground in Europe. We don't want to go back to what happened during World War II, where Hitler cut a deal and took over Poland when he rolled into Austria and annexed it and took over Europe because of lack of action. Putin would do the exact same thing given the opportunity. We must support Ukraine in every means possible.
What is your view on the Israel-Gaza conflict, which is so tragic for people on both sides, and the escalating tensions and military actions across the Mideast, now including Lebanon and Iran?
It's an absolute humanitarian crisis on both sides. And October 7th, that was Israel's September 11th awakening. They were attacked brutally, thousands killed, and it was absolutely inexcusable. Hamas is absolutely a terrorist organization, and they have done a terrible, terrible thing. And Israel does have the right to defend itself. Unfortunately, now we're over a year past that terrible day, and there's still many hostages still being held, and thousands upon thousands of Palestinians in Gaza have now died. And so the cost is so very high. And then with the war escalating up into Lebanon against Hezbollah and strikes in Tehran, this is getting out of hand very rapidly. And I would want to make sure that Israel understands that United States went through all these sorts of things when, after September 11th, we invaded Afghanistan, we invaded Iraq, and then we were locked in a 20-year conflict. And it turned out that Osama bin Laden, when he finally was killed under the watch of President Obama, he was in Pakistan. And so it is a tough place. And so years and years of fighting will cost lives. It will cost a massive amount of money. And look at what happened in Afghanistan. The Taliban is back.
Yeah.
And 20 years didn't work.
What is the answer? Do we need, a ceasefire, a two-state solution, a replacement of Hamas, or for that matter, the Netanyahu government? What do you think it will take to bring some stability and ultimately peace to that region, or is it even possible at this point?
Well, it's a matter of engagement. It's going to take many, many years to get back just to where we were, which was still not a very stable situation. A two-state solution, absolutely every group of people need a home. And so it's unfortunate now Gaza has been laid to waste, but it's time for the killing to end. Because what will happen is generation upon generation of all those children who have gone through this terrible experience, they could very well become the next generation of terrorists.
Yeah, unless we have a major rebuilding plan for Gaza, like the Marshall Plan to rebuild Japan after the nuclear bombs were dropped.
Exactly. So that's where we find ourselves. Now, I by no means do I make an excuse for Hamas. By no means. Mm-hmm. And it was a terrible mistake for the people of Gaza to allow Hamas to become the ruling party. But when you look at the Netanyahu government, it is very right wing also. And so, you have a very militant group there as well. And so when you put in, you have these two very militant right wing groups, you're doomed for conflict. And that's what's happened there.
I would like to ask who your major endorsers are. I understand you just picked up some big labor endorsements and maybe others. And also, where can people get more information about your candidacy?
Well, my website is electhoulihan.com. Like I said, I have the endorsement of the national leaders, National Security Leaders for America. That's a huge endorsement. Mm-hmm. I have endorsements from the California Democratic Party. I have endorsements from all of the Democratic groups in this area. I have a wonderful endorsement for healthcare for all from all the major healthcare organizations, all the big unions, the AFL-CIO, on and on and on. So we have all amazing backing. We have a huge grassroots movement. We have volunteers out every day knocking on doors, and we are the underdog. By all means, we understand. But you know what? We're bringing in the tides of change.
Okay. Well, Stephen, I'm going to let you have the last word today. Is there anything else that you would like our audience to know out there that I have not specifically asked you about today in your race against Daryl Issa for the 48th Congressional District seat?
Well, I just want to thank everybody for their support. It's been a wonderful experience. I love getting out and speaking to people. I love the 48th Congressional District. I love the land. I love the people. I'm an avid mountain biker, hiker, rock climber, and outdoorsman. I love getting out in the backcountry. I love my hometown of Santee and all the things we've been able to do here. It's a great community. We have great weather. We have all the things that make this into a wonderful paradise. The one thing that we lack is we don't have any decent leadership in Congress. And so we need somebody to go to Congress and to bring back that money for infrastructure, for things like the dams and the roads, everything that we need to make this thing even, to make this place an even more wonderful paradise. And I am that person. I will do that. I will not be corrupted by all the money and the lobbyists and all that. I feel I have a higher power where I just want to serve the people.
Very good. We have been speaking with Stephen Houlihan, who is the Democratic candidate running against Congressman Darrell Issa in the 48th Congressional District, which includes much of San Diego, as well as many communities right here in East County. Stephen, I want to thank you very much for taking the time off the campaign trail there to come and speak with us today on the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice. We'll be posting this complete interview, if you tuned in late, on our website at eastcountymagazine.org within the next day or two.